I would like to look at the purpose of life from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 to 16. The topic I would like to give to this session is to be built together. This message, I've been thinking for a while, and I really want to share with you. This morning, when I come and stand here, I find that I'm empty. I don't have strength. So I do need you to pray. Pray for me, pray for yourself. Pray for someone, when you listen to a message, you think of someone. Pray for them. So that the Lord can really use His words to speak to us. Let us pray. Lord, we praise You. Lord, we thank You that You have died a great death in order to save us. And this death is a victorious death. And You ascended to the heaven. Lord, we praise You for all Your work. Lord, this morning as we come to You, Lord, we pray that You speak to us so that we can hear from You, so that Your glory, Your heart desire can be accomplished, Your glory can be over all the creation, across the land. Lord, we pray that You strengthen our hearts and give us faith. We ask You to take away all the distraction, all the hindrances from Satan, from everything, so that we can come to hear You and know You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us firstly look at the context of this session, chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 7 to 16. In the whole book of Ephesians, as we shared previously, Ephesians chapter 1 to 3 says about the glorious calling Christians have been called according to the eternal purpose of God. If we want to use one verse from Ephesians to express God's eternal purpose, chapter 1, verse 22 can be used. It says, God put all things under Christ's feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church. The eternal purpose of God is for Christ, His Son, to head over all things. Christ is to be the center. All things are for His Son. Jesus Christ is God. He's the second person of the triune God. Of course, He should head over all things. But what amazing is that not only God wants His Son to head up and inherit all things, God also wants His Son to head over all things for the sake of the church. God wants His Son to inherit all things with His church, His redeemed people. God wants Christ to gain His church, joining together in oneness, sharing His love, His character, His inheritance, sharing His authority over all things for His own glory. This is unimaginable, incomprehensible. No one can fully understand this. But the more you see that, the more your life will be transformed and your life on earth will be different. For this eternal purpose, God called you out. God called me out. What is church? The original Greek word of the translated word church used in the English Bible can literally mean the assembly of the called out. That is the assembly of people who have been called out by the glorious calling of God's eternal purpose. You and I have been called out for what? Called out to be the church of Christ, joining with Christ in union, joining the holy and loving fellowship, relationship of God, of Trinity, joining the family of God. This family is very exclusive. Originally, it has only three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We join this holy and loving family in one body, with one hope, through one faith and one baptism. Those are the seven ones we've looked at last time in the same chapter, verse 4 to 6. For this eternal purpose of God, Paul exhorted all the true Christians to walk in a manner worthy of that glorious calling. In verse 1, this chapter, he said, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. This verse of exhortation is the start of all the following chapter 4 to 6, which teach us how to walk in a manner worthy of that calling. Last time we looked at the very first and most important walk in verse 2 to 6. That is to diligently maintain the unity of the Holy Spirit. Because of the precious and glorious unity we have, we are joining together in the unity of the triune God. We have to be eager to maintain the unity in the body of Christ. Today we continue that very first and most important walk from verse 7 to 16. I would like to divide this session into three parts. Firstly, from verse 7 to 11, we look at Christ ascended and gave gifts and ministers to his church. Secondly, from verse 12 to 15, we will look at Christ giving gifts and ministers is for the building of the body of Christ. Thirdly, from verse 16, we'll look at how we are built together. Let us now look at verse 7 to 11. In verse 7, it said about, there's a phrase which occurred for the first time in this chapter. That is each one of us. From verse 1 to 6, Paul talks about the seven oneness, including the one corporate body of Christ. Here Paul draw attention to each individual. Each one of us has been given a certain measure of Christ's gift. If you are a Christian, having the Holy Spirit, you belong to the one body of Christ. In this body, you are given at least one spiritual gift. Different members may have different gifts. You might have the gift seeing as an eye. She might have the gift of serving like a hand. Are eyes beautiful? Yes, they are. They are wonderfully designed and formed. But if all the members of the same body are eyes, can you imagine that? The body is a pile of eyes. Very scary and horrible. Not to mention the uselessness. A pile of eyes. God likes varieties. He likes a variety of members in the body of Christ to show his richness. God likes diversities and uniqueness of individuals. Diversity or uniqueness is a characteristic of life. Manufacture products through mass production from factories are all the same, except for the defective ones. But each flower, each bird is different and have their uniqueness because they are living things. That is why there is the word but to link up verse 2 to 6 and verse 7 to 16. Verse 2 to 6 talk about the unity through the seven perfect oneness in the Holy Spirit. Verse 7 to 16 talks about the unity through different individual members with uniqueness, joining together harmoniously in the body under the headship of Christ. Therefore, the unity of members in the body of Christ does not refer to the uniformity of members in the body of Christ. Grace was given. The word grace in verse 7 reminds us that it is God's grace for us to receive gift from Christ. This is God's grace for us to have the honorable responsibility to use the gift to serve His church. Grace was given according to the gift we receive. Though different members may have different kinds of gifts and with different measure, each member will have sufficient grace to exercise their received gifts, to carry out their honorable responsibility, to contribute to the body of Christ through serving one another, serving brothers and sisters. Therefore, we can trust the Lord and look upon Him, His gracious provision, in exercise our gifts in His church. When you have a willingness and will to exercise the gift, He will teach you and enable you. Verse 8. Therefore it says, when the ascended on high, He led a host of captives, and He gave gifts to men. In verse 8, Paul borrows Psalm 68, verse 18, to encourage Ephesians. Encourage Ephesians that Christ has already ascended to heaven. He has already conquered the enemies and led the host of captives. He has already conquered Satan and all his following devils. He has conquered death and sins. He has also conquered us as His enemies while we are rebellious and dead in sin. Because of His victory, now we became His spoils, His possession, His possessed people. He gave gifts to us, to His church. Christ has already won the battle. He is sitting at the right hand of God. He's building His church on earth. He's interceding for us to be built together for the dwelling place for God. He will provide everything we need to be built together. Because He loves His church very, very much. He is very, very keen to build His church to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, as described later in verse 13. In verse 9, it's saying, He ascended. What does it mean? But He had also descended in the lower regions, the earth. So verse 9 brings us to see Christ as descended. Because His ascension is to conquer the enemy, in order to gain us to be His church, He is willing to go through the very great death on the cross, in order to descend to the lower parts of the earth. We can never understand how much pain He has gone through on the cross, especially in His soul and His spirit. Why He is willing to do that? Because He treasures and loves His church. He is zealous to build his church and provide whatever provisions and gifts to his church so that we can be built together. Verse 10. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Paul told us that this descended Christ is the victorious and glorious Christ, ascended far above all the heavens. He fills all things. He has his full influence in all things. He has the full headship in all things on behalf of his beloved church. The church is the fullness of Christ who fills all in all, as said in the end of chapter 1. We just read. Verse 11 here. In chapter 4, Paul continued. Our victorious and ascended Christ not only gave gifts to his church, he also gave his church the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. We call them the ministers of God's words. Both apostles and prophets in the New Testament have different usage, can have different meanings, refer to different people. But in all other parts in Ephesians, like chapter 2, verse 20, chapter 3, verse 5, apostle and prophets refer to those men receive God's revelation directly and pass them to the early church. This revelation forms the foundational truth on which the church is to be built, to be built on. Therefore, the apostle and prophets in verse 11 might refer to this apostle and prophets. The shepherds and teachers are the same ministers doing the two roles of shepherd and teacher. These are the two pastoral roles of one pastor. Evangelists are for the non-believers. Pastors are for God's flock, the believers. We have just looked at that Christ gave gifts and ministered of God's word to his church. We now let us go to see the purpose of that from verse 12 to 15. Firstly, verse 12 tells us that the function of the minister of God's word is to equip the saints. That is, every member of the body of Christ. Equip every Christian for what? It is to equip every one of them to do the work of ministry. In other words, the pastor's role is not to do all the work of ministry, but to equip everyone in the church to do all the work of ministry. There is an unbiblical phenomenon in today's Christian world. There is a clergy system categorizes Christians into two groups, one called clergy and another called laymen. Most of the work of ministry are done by the clergy, and most laymen are sitting there watching the clergy busy doing the work of ministry. Let us call this clergy ministry. This clergy ministry is not what the Bible teaches, not what the Lord wants to see. One of the reasons of the existence of the clergy ministry is the bystander mentality of the so-called layman. All the saints in the church are to be equipped by God's word from the ministers of God's word in order for them to do actual direct work of ministry. Of course, we can not only the minister of God's word preach or share the word of God. Everyone can share. But the word is for us to minister, to equip everyone to do the actual work of ministry. direct work of ministry. We call this the whole body ministry or body ministry. It is the body ministry to build up the body of Christ. Just like what is said in verse 16. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up enough. So if you are a true Christian, you have no choice, but you are a member of the body of Christ. You have been assigned a function to contribute to the growth of the body. If you, for some reason, you are not doing your part, the body suffers loss. But if you learn to be equipped and exercise your gift, the body benefits from it, benefits from you, and the body grows. And you yourself grow as well in the body. God wants body ministry, but not clergy ministry. There is a very famous American Oklahoma Sooner football team. I'm not a fan of football. But this team has been regarded to be the most successful college football team since World War II, with the highest winning percentage, more than 75% of all winnings in college games. Once a young reporter asked the coach, "Coach, how has the game of the football contributed to the health and fitness of America?" The coach responded, "It has not contributed at all." The reporter was shocked and then asked, "What do you mean?" The coach said, "I define football as 22 men on the field, desperately needing rest, and the 22,000 fans in the stadium, desperately needing exercise." Similarly, the clergy ministry will make the clergy desperately needing rest, and the laymen desperately needing exercising their gift. Every time when you come to meet with other brothers and sisters, are you the one in the stadium or the one on the playing field? If you are praying for me, even now when you're sitting here, or praying for other brothers and sisters, you're praying for the musicians, the ushers, the AV, the speakers, you're on the playing field. If you're actively listening to the message and learning from it, congratulations, you are doing the exercise and being equipped to play on the playing field. But if you are just sitting here, evaluating whether the message is interesting or boring, as a spectator, you might be the one desperately needing exercise. The Lord desires to involve every Christian into the body ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. Are you willing to be involved? Paul continued to tell us what the direction the body of ministry should be in verse 13 to 15. The first word in verse 13, "until," talks about the direction of the body ministry and the building of the body of Christ. until we are all attained to the unity of the faith. The faith here refers to the whole body of truth revealed in the Bible. This is not the one faith in verse 5, which is the fundamental truth of the Christian faith revealed in the Bible. That basic crucial truth, fundamental truth in verse 5, unites all Christians through the Holy Spirit. Today, all these Christians don't have the full clear understanding of the whole Bible. Or two Christians might have clear understanding of two different aspects of the same one truth in the Bible, since they look from different aspects. They can't agree with one another on that truth yet. They haven't attained the unity of the faith. Or even some Christians have wrong understanding on certain truths. So Christians still have different understanding on certain parts of the Bible and the truth in it. Of course, this different understanding shouldn't hinder the brotherly love and fellowship between them. But as the church grows, the understanding of the truth in the whole book of the Bible will be clearer, and they attain more of the shared understanding of correct knowledge of the truth. This is the one direction of signs of the growth of the body of Christ. The knowledge of the Son of God, in verse 13. Jesus is the truth. If we want to know better the doctrinal truth, we need also to know better the Son of God. Those who know biblical Greek told us that the word knowledge in the original Greek here is a strengthened word, strengthened form of the usually used word knowledge. So it's more to refer to a thorough, relational, intimate, experiential knowledge of our Lord. To mature manhood, to measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ in verse 13, this is the sign and goal of the building of the body of Christ. To be mature, the goal of the body ministry is to be like Christ. For individuals to be more like Christ, for the corporate body to be more like Christ. Christ's character and likeness is a natural consequence of brothers and sisters knowing the truth and knowing Jesus in the body of Christ. Also in verse 14, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. The Bible tells us that in the last days, there are false Christ and false prophets deceiving people. For example, there is a Chinese cult originated from China called Eastern Lightning or the Church of Almighty God. In China, their way to recruit converts are very deceitful and sexually immoral. Use lies, use a lot of very terrible method. It has been banned by China government. In the past few years, they have been trying to affect and recruit our Chinese congregation, young and old. Now, not only among Chinese speakers, I noticed that they started their work even among English speakers, including young people. A few weeks ago, a Chinese elderly sister told me that they will see your need and try to approach you, to meet your need in order to recruit you. Therefore, some young people, if you have a lot of time and feel bored and feeling curious and feeling lonely, these young people can be the target. Not only this Eastern Lightning, There are many others. Some more obvious, some more subtle. Paul said we should grow so that we no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Not only this cult, postmodernism, different worldview, different lies. We need to grow stronger and know the truth better. The world is full of lies. Satan is the father of lies behind this. Verse 15. We need to grow. Not only we are not deceived, but rather we are able to speak the truth in love. So in verse 15, he said, to speak the truth in love. The more the lies, the more needy and urgent to speak the truth of the gospel in love. The end of verse 15 concludes that the overall direction of the building of Christ, the body of Christ, is to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Christ is the goal of the growth of the body. Grow into Him. Grow into His likeness. In every way. In all the aspects, to be like Christ. This is the direction. So far we have shared, Christ ascended and gave gifts and ministered to His church. And we look at the purpose of Christ giving this to the church is for the building of the body of Christ. Now we come to look at the third point from verse 16, which is how to be built together. Verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and held together. Firstly, from whom? From Christ. This talk about connecting with Christ, from Him. In order for the whole body connecting with Christ, individual members need to connect with Christ. So every day, we learn to set aside personal quiet time with Him, to hear Him, and for Him to hear us through Scripture, through prayer. He is Christ, our King, our Lord. He is the head of the church. This personal connection through quiet time, the quiet time with our Lord, is crucial for individuals to be involved by the head in the body ministry in an effective way, in order to be built in the body of Christ. Secondly, from whom the whole body joined and held together. This connection is with one another. In order to have body ministry, we need to learn to engage. We need to find opportunities to contribute to the body through developing bonding with one another, with another member of the body. So don't think you chat with brothers and sisters, it's nothing done with the building of the body of Christ. It relates. The Lord wants us to join together, held together. So like fellowship dinner, during the long weekend, it's your opportunity next month. Or other opportunity. Even sometimes you express your need to ask brother and sister to pray for you for a certain thing. It is the kind of building the body of Christ. Just like in the beginning, I asked you to pray for me. I do feel that, I do experience that. I can't say every time, I can't remember, but many, many times when I ask brother and sister to pray for me when I speak, I feel different. I experience differently. It does affect. It has impact. Thirdly, for whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. On one hand, we are joined and held together by connecting with Christ, the head. On the other hand, we are joined and held together by the supply of every joint. For example, by the care supplied from another member of the body. So we can learn to care for one another. Learn to find a member next to you to care for. Not necessarily for one physically next to you, but somehow God brings him or her to your life, to your pathway. Many years ago, I know of a teenager girl. She's a member of the body of Christ. One Sunday, she came across an elderly sister after Sunday meeting and had some casual chat with her. They had, together. Through the conversation, this young teenager girl found out that the elderly sister lived by herself and sometimes not easy to do house chores due to her frailty. He's elderly, her health is not very good. Then the teenager sister had an idea out of love, out of care. She made a time with that elderly sister to visit her during school holiday, to help her to do house chores. This is an example of carrying someone next to you. Verse 16 tells us that, in order to have body ministry to build up the body of Christ, everyone needs to be joined and held together. That is to engage with one another, to be close to one another. However, we fear to engage with one another. As a sinner in this fallen world, we rather tend to choose to be loner. My eldest brother liked English pop song very much. In those days of 1960s, 1970s, I was not a fan of that. But he kept on playing, and the music loud. And I still remember one song singing. I'm a rock, I'm an island. Someone smile, you may know this song. As a sinner living among sinners, we fear of hurts by other people. We have a tendency to choose to be a rock, to be an island. Actually, deep in our hearts, we desire for engagement. It is because in reality, we are created and our whole being is designed by God for engagement. So if you don't engage, you will shrink. You can't live. You can't have a real life. However, as a sinner, normally we fear to engage because we fear to get hurt. Also, we are too proud to engage sometimes. The me mentality we mentioned last time, this mentality caused us to focus too much on ourselves. The sin of pride in us causes hurt to other people, including those very close to us. That's why it's not easy to engage. not easy to join and held together. But we are different. Remember Neil last time he said, we have a natural man, you know, natural circle, and we have a redeemed, we are spiritual. We can. We are not the same with the people in the world. We have new life. If you are a real Christian, you have new life. We are different. Christ has already ascended. During normal school days, apart from school lockdown due to COVID-19 restriction, every day joy in Uruguay brings my grandson Mark to school. On the way, they see quite a few homeless people with their limited Spanish. They talked to them, some of them, and gave gifts to them. Thank God Joy and Mark have opportunity to show care to them when these homeless are lonely and needy. Yes, homeless people are lonely and needy. They don't have a home to engage and enjoy. However, many people who are not homeless physically are actually homeless spiritually and mentally. Do you have a home? Do you have a spiritual home to engage? All true Christians are children of God. But some God's children are homeless. They live by themselves individually. They don't gather with other children of God in the name of Jesus. Even sometimes some of them might think that they are very spiritual and they only need God, but not other children of God. Actually, no one with this mentality can maintain, have real spirituality and godliness. I remember the campfire in last month's youth camp. The fire burns very strongly and brightly when the wood are put together and burn. After the campfire, you know, we need to go, so we need to, you know, we want to put the fire off. People pour water onto the fire, but the fire is still burning. I noticed Neil tried to pull the burning pieces of wood away from the center and scatter them. And then the fire, pour some water, the fire and hotness quickly diminished. This is what Satan is trying to do. I'm not saying Neil is Satan. Satan trying to do to God's children to put off their fire, their love for Jesus. That's why the Holy Spirit encourages Christians in Hebrews 10 not to neglect to meet together, as some neglect as a habit. Some Christians do apparently meet regularly on Sunday with other Christians. But they go to church meetings on Sundays, but don't engage. They might be spending some time in the meetings like homeless, move from roadside to boarding house or hostel, to stay there just for sleeping. But there's very little engagement with other boarders. Are we spiritually homeless? Or are we not homeless, but we are just boarders? Do we want a home? A home for us to engage, to be joined and held together. I'm not sure whether you want or not, but God really wants. He wants all his children not only connecting with Christ personally, but also the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. Engagement not only holds us together to care for one another. Engagement also helps us to find out what our individual gifts from Christ is. Today I'm talking about my family. Like Zoe, my younger granddaughter. By God's grace, she is now 1.5 years old. She can walk pretty well now. Last year, when she wanted to move from one place to another, she could only use her tummy. Originally, she engaged her two hands and two legs, trying to struggle randomly, trying to move. Later, gradually, and eventually, she managed to crawl with both hands and legs. We know that her hands do not have the gifts of transporting her body properly with, which the ability her legs have. But because her legs were not developed yet, so her hands are willing to engage to help out, though in a very clumsy way. And her legs, although it's not developed, her legs are also willing to engage, try to help the body. Because they are not yet fully developed, they help in a very clumsy way. But it's okay. They want to help the body. However, through all this clumsy engagement, both legs and hands found out what they are good at and how to contribute to the body better. Imagine if both hands and legs didn't engage to help Zoe's body. The tummy wouldn't be able to move the body eventually. Both tummy together with the hands and legs would be paralyzed. No growth. Praise God. They engaged. Zoe's hands and legs became stronger and smarter. She didn't need to crawl with tummy and limbs, but with four stronger hands and legs. Now even she can use her hand to play with goggles as belt. Using her legs to dance, she grows. In the process of growing, both of her hands and legs find a contribution to the body more and more and discover their own uniqueness more and more. At the same time, they enjoy their co-working and harmony in unity more and more, and the body grows. This is body ministry. I don't have much time, but this is how verse 16 says, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow. The body grows in unity with uniqueness and diversity in Christ. The last few words at the end of verse 16, so that it builds itself up in love. By this body ministry, the body can build itself up in love. Eventually, we will find that not your gift counts, but the love counts. You might have a very big gift, but if you don't have love, you are nothing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 say that. You might have a very small gift, but if you have love, your very small gift may become a precious channel to pass the love of Christ from you, from Christ, to the person you serve, so that this person receives the love of Christ through you. Praise God. You are the winner. You are a faithful servant. for God's glory and for the blessing of the body. Let us seek to increase our love to Christ and his body. You can't love Christ only, but not his body. If you want to win someone's heart, you need to love the one he loves. He treasures most. If you care for the one he treasures most, you can win him. This is the trick. Not the trick. This is the true thing. If you love the church, your life will be different. Because you love the very precious one in God's eyes. So no matter how big or small gift we might have, develop it and exercise it faithfully for the building of the body, for Christ's heart and his glory. Let us pray. Now we come with all our weaknesses and limitation and our poverty. But Lord, we ask you, put your words in our hearts as we rest through the scriptures. May the word in this scripture settle and in our hearts and transform us and encourage desire for us to experience. To know you in the body of Christ for your glory. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.